4 VWA, Mobile, Gaffney.
Well, I'll tell you, I just let anybody on this thing. KB4CBA.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, you spend more time in that car than you do in the house, boy. Or, well, I don't know. You spend time in the car, and you spend time playing tennis. That's it.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to HF right now.
You're in your house?
Surprise, surprise.
Well, I'm just stunned. Well, how's it doing? What are you on, 40?
Let's see, what am I on here? They're running a net, but I'm on 14.268, but I can barely pull this guy out on 20 meters, and I've been listening on 40 and 80 too, but, and there's some, you know, QSOs on those three bands. I just haven't, you know, jumped into any of them, and I'm sure it's probably some of them are nets. I don't know.
Yeah, I had a guy on 7260 this morning before I left the house.
Yeah, I have some frequencies written down here. Let's see. And 7260 is one of them. There's a net at, I've got it down at 7:30, and I've got the letter C written next to it. I'm not sure why I wrote C. Well, I'm not sure what that stands for.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're getting anything on 20 meter right now. It generally closes up at about 10:30 or 11.
Well, I haven't been all over the band yet. Let's see what we got down here. Here's a stronger signal down here on, let me get him tuned in. This zone, it's on 14.225.5. He sounds like the guy that I've talked to a couple of times from Barcelona, Spain.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, see, you can go ahead and you can go down below 14.225. I can't.
Yeah, that's the bottom for me. I'm 0.5 above where I can be.
Okay, so the advanced frequencies are the same as general frequencies?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the advanced since they dropped it. I just haven't, you know, kept up with it. I've got a chart here, and I used to have it out, but since we had turned this room into a nursery, I had to, you know, put some stuff up. I'd like to put it up on the wall, and I'd like to put a world map on the wall and that kind of thing, but that'll probably come later.
Yeah. When I bought my 991, Yezu sent me one of those world maps with all the country call signs on them.
Yeah, this guy's from Buenos Aires.
Wow. That's, let's see now, Buenos Aires, that's Argentina?
Yeah, I'd like to see if I can talk to him.
Is Buenos Aires, that's Argentina, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
KB4 CBA, get over there and see if you can hit that guy. This is KN4 VWA. Get after him, bud. Clear.
Okay, here we go. KN4 VWA, KB4 CBA.
Thank you.
KB4CBA, KN4BWA.
Hitting the repeater, okay?
Yeah, and I'm all the way over here at mile marker 80 in Spartanburg.
I'm on my bow thing out in the yard. As soon as I laid the mic down and picked up the HF mic, my daughter texted me and said, can I lay Grizzly down for a nap? So I didn't get to talk to the guy.
Wow, okay. So you're sharing your shed with the nursery.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just temporary, and, but anyway, so that's the way it goes. He had a real thick accent. It's hard to understand him. I mean, you know, he's speaking English, but, and I was trying to get his call, I never did get it, so, and of course, there were, you know, there were other people in there trying to talk to him as well.
Well, now, you do know in about the next 6 months, that grandson of yours is going to be up on a stool, grabbing your microphone, screaming into the microphone, going, I know who you are!
Well, you know, I would like to teach my oldest. He's getting ready to turn 7. And, no, wait a minute. 7 or 8. I can't remember. I can't keep up with him. I think it's 7, yeah. And, so, you know, I want to start exposing him to the hobby and to see if he has any interest in it.
Teach him the ways of their ancestors and they will follow a good path.
Well, you know, talking on two-way radio has always just, you know, fascinated me. And I can remember my first set of walkie-talkies. And, you know, we just had a blast with them.
My dad always had to take them away from me and my brother because we always managed to get into some kind of mischief.
See, we had a lot of woods around where I grew up, and my elementary school years, and we played Army a lot, and we would use those as our communicators.
Well, my brother and I were sneaky little devils. I'd hide in bushes on one side, he'd hide in bushes on the other side of somebody. And I'd throw a little pebble and hit them from the right, and they'd start looking around trying to see where it came from. And I'd talk into the walkie and say, go ahead now. And he'd throw one from the left. We had this one poor old fella going so bad, he didn't know which end was up.
That is mean. I mean, I get a mental picture of that. It's funny, but that was mean, Steve. But I guess if that's the worst thing you ever did, that wasn't too bad.
Well, ask me about the Greenville County Sheriff's Deputy back in 1976. No, 5 or 6. 1975 or 6. And I'll tell you all about that little shenanigan. Me and another fella, we had our Jeeps. We was bad boys.
All right, now, you don't mess around with law enforcement. You know better than that.
No, this guy needed it. He was being a real jerk.
Well, back when we were growing up, I don't know, they were pretty strict on people my age. I mean, I got pulled over a good bit, but they never issued a ticket because I wasn't doing anything wrong. And I'd ask him why, or he'd say, you know why I pulled you over? And I'd say, no, sir. And he said, well, you're riding too close to the white line, or you're riding too yellow line. You can hear that train. run too close to the wide broken line or something like that. And so I never got a ticket. I just got pulled over a lot. I figured they were just, you know, trying to keep us in line as teenagers.
Well, I don't know if you remember or not, but there used to be a constable that used to hang around Taylor's. And I mean, he was about as close to a rent-a-cop as you could get. And I mean, that guy was just a total jerk. And we get through over at the loading dock. I'd spend the evening bouncing over there. And man, let me tell you what, we'd go out and hunt him down. And we used to harass that poor guy. But he was one of these fat redneck guys back in about 74, 75, something like that. And I mean, his mission in life was to harass kids while they were out parking or something, you know? It was ridiculous.
Well, I had a couple of incidents like that. I mean, I had a guy, good Lord, his train lights his horn. I had a guy, Mars Hill, he would come flying up behind me this at night and get right on my bumper with his bright lights on and just ride my bumper. And I wouldn't do anything wrong, so I just kept going. And he'd eventually hit his blue lights and pulled me over, but he never wrote me a ticket because I wasn't doing anything wrong.
So I need to go in and hit a money machine real quick, and I'll be right back out here in about 3 minutes, okay? I'll be right back out at you.
All right, well, I'm just standing out here in the backyard before CBA.
N4DJC, Mindtree.
Did I copy N4DJC? This is Kilo Bravo 4, Charlie Bravo Alpha. His name's David.
Hey, David. Yeah, N4DJC. Just hanging around a little bit today. Gonna head over to Greenville a little bit later on this afternoon. At least warm it up a little bit. Hope the rain stays away for a little while anyway.
Yeah, I'm out here in the driveway, and it's a little breezy, but it is so nice. I tell you, I mean, it feels like spring out here.
Yeah, it's the kind of weather that makes my sinuses go crazy sometimes when it gets warm like that and cools back off again. It just seems to be a constant battle from about February to about April or so to keep from getting all congested and all that kind of stuff. But it's just, the ground's just saturated. I'm sure we're going to have some mold issues if it stays warm for a while. But I think it's going to cool back off again this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I mean, I don't think winter is over yet. And I'm sure we will have more cold weather. And it was funny because the guy across the street, some of his grass is already turned green, and he cut, it's no lie, he cut his grass Saturday morning with his battery-driven Ryobi mower, and it snowed right after that.
Yeah, it's not time of year to be cutting grass. It's a long guy I know that's a pretty good turf guy who told me to want to keep the weeds out, get your pre-emergent out around Valentine's Day. So after then, it doesn't really do a whole heck of a lot of good. You still going to have weeds. By that time, they already germinated and scattered everywhere. If you mow it, just all it does is scatter them out more.
That's good to know. Yeah, I need to do a pre-emergent, and I tell you, my dad, he put a lot of money into this Bermuda sod here, and I need to take care of it, and I'm trying to. It's an uphill battle, and let's see, I think Steve's going to jump back in here in a minute.
Joe, Steve's back.
Well, go ahead, Steve.
And for BWA, who we got right there with David now?
N4DJCG.
N4DJC, how you are today? I hope you're doing a little bit drier than I am. I'm about to get moldy.
I was just talking to David about that earlier. It's going to be, my sinuses start acting up about this time, this time of the year anyway, and this wet weather with the mold and all is going to make it even worse, I guess. I'm trying to stay healthy, though, but as you get older, it's hard to do sometimes.
Tell me about it. I just got a new knee and had a couple of other issues, but I think 2020 is going to be a good year for me health-wise.
Well, I hope so. I hope so for me, too, but you never know. I'll be 69 in March, so I'm on the other side of it, so I know hopefully I'll make it a few more years, but you just never know these days, I guess, but I'm in fairly good health. Especially if I can get this sinus stuff and get this stuff cleared up. I don't take anything for it other than take some Flonase. I don't do anything else. And I don't take antihistamines or the decongestants because they make me crazy, so I just stay away from that stuff. I know David's standing outside with his HT. You better let him back in and talk for a minute.
You're going to have to believe this, but the sun just broke through the clouds where I'm standing, and it is shining on me. It's getting ready to go back behind the clouds, but it's busted through the clouds twice now.
Well, I tell you what, if we don't start getting a little bit of sunshine, I'm not going to have a driveway left.
You have to get that John Deere out.
Already been on it for about 2 or 3 hours. Just getting it fixed up from the 7 inches. Now we're getting all this. I'm just going to do it all over again.
Wah, 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 wah. Well, I tell you, I do like I did. My driveway is concrete.
Yeah, well, your driveway ain't 1,600 feet long.
Just anything about how long it was. Oh, me, I tell you, you have a conundrum there, or situation I would not want to have.
Can you imagine what it would cost me to concrete my driveway?
I don't know. I'm not going to pay for it, so I don't have to imagine. Oh, man, KB4CBAC, Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to have some work done on my driveway, but mine's not 1,600 feet, but I'm going to put a little turnaround on mine, I think this spring, and do a little work around the house. We've been working on some things. We've been in this place about 25 now, and we were kind of thinking about finding something smaller, but there's just not a whole lot of stuff out there. Yeah, I'd like to find something 2-bedroom instead of 3, and all on one floor, which is hard to find. Most everything's a townhome. I'd like to get out of bed just to climb these stairs. But everything's downstairs. It's, I got 2 bedrooms upstairs, but I got the upstairs where my granddaughter usually stays. I got it turned into my temporary radio room for right now. But I don't know how much concrete is, but I think I'm going to get sticker shot when I find out how much this turnaround is going to cost me.
Well, how's that working for you? Because I was going to put my shack upstairs, and Dave, W4DJW, said that he had a lot of problems with RF because he had to run such a long ground.
Well, since I'm just on 2 meters, I'm not, you know, I'm just running mine into a little elk log antenna, so I'm not even running the ground right now. I'm not having that much trouble with RF on this now. If it was HF now, I'm sure it'd be a different story, but if that were the case, I could do something downstairs. But I got the antenna inside here, so it's not a big deal one way or the other. I get into most machines on 10 watts without too much trouble, but HF now, I don't know about that. Now, I'd have to have a good ground with that, so I don't think that'd be a viable situation upstairs, because mine's actually, it's a story and a half, but there's two stories in the back, and so I'm up at a pretty high elevation. But I don't have any attic space on the side facing the lake. It's mainly right through here, and you know I got one spot here where I can point the antenna and hit most everything on the Greenville side anyway from my spot in Anderson. But I'm just so low, my elevation just so low here. It's just not. I'd have to put up a decent sized tower in order to do it. I'm just not willing to do that.
Well, I know some folks that give you a hand. Steve?
A lot of silence from that end. I think Steve's had about all the antenna stuff he wants to deal with for a while.
So I tell you what, the only antenna I'm going to deal with right now is I've ordered me a off-center fed dipole for my 160 and 80, and I'm going to attach it up there to that tower with a pulley, so I ain't gonna have to climb, that's for sure.
I think I've got enough room in the backyard. I could probably put a windham up, you know, from and slope it from the edge of the house to the peak of the house down that way. But like I said, I don't know how the RF would be on it. I'd have to do some thinking about that, because we still got most of our power lines are above ground here. So I don't know how much RF it'd be on that side of the house, but that would point me to the, it wouldn't be due south, but probably to the south, mostly to the southwest, I think.
I tell you, I've got a Carolina Windham, and it's up about 30 feet or so, and I'm really having a time with it. I've made a lot of good contacts on it. So I would encourage you to at least give it a try.
Well, I probably will at some point, you know, this spring. I got other things going on. I'm trying to get this satellite thing set up so I can have, you know, maybe do some more stuff without having to run up downstairs for the satellite contact. I may have to do a semi-permanent thing with this elk, and just have a small rotor, just set it at a fixed elevation, and let it go at that. I think most everybody's telling me that's the thing to do. But it's just a little, it's not that heavy, but it gets tiresome trying to track them in the back. Also, I don't have a clear line of sight on one side, so it may be a losing battle without getting up a lot higher.
I got to step out of here again, you guys. I'll be out for about another 10 minutes. Y'all carry on and have a good time. KN4BWA, clear.
All right, Steve. Do you have a, let me ask you a question. Do you have a planer?
Talking about a wood planer?
Roger.
Depends on how wide you need it to be.
I just got a piece of wood that's on a threshold, and I just need it planed down, and there's no way I'm gonna be able to cut it with a skill saw.
Well, sure, as long as it's a flat piece of wood, that doesn't sound like it's gonna be more than about 4 inches wide. Yeah, I got a 12-inch wide planker. And, well, you know what, I also got a planer joiner. It'll run about 6 inches wide. 4 to 6 inches wide, so either way, I can knock it out for you.
Well, I put in a new threshold, and this is just a little bit too tall, but I need it in there to help seal the door, and, but it needs to be cut almost in about half of what it is now.
No problem. We can knock it right down, Bo. All right, just give me a holler, and let me know when you want to try to do it, and we'll get together. We need to do it before Friday.
Okay. All righty. Well, I'll see what I can do. All right, Jerry, I'm going to jump out of here, and I guess I'll leave you with it. Oh, me. I'm gonna disconnect the mufflers on my Mustang here and see what it sounds like without any mufflers on it.
Zoom, zoom, Lynn. Have at it. It's gonna be nice. Anyway, you gotta put a baffled exhaust on it. Those things are always pretty cool. I remember I had a buddy of mine that had a Z28. When I graduated high school in 69, his came with a baffled exhaust, which is a fairly, wasn't real rare option, but it was unusual. That thing sounded pretty tough back in those days. But as I'm not in that anymore, but I sure enjoyed it when I was young. You guys have a good afternoon. I'll be listening off and on. Have a good afternoon, both of you, Steve and David. M4DJC clear.
All right, well, Jerry, can you tell me what a baffled exhaust is?
I don't know if they still make them anymore. I know that was one of the, you know, when Smokey Enyaq was in all the work with Chevrolet. Of course, you got a Mustang with Smokey. You did all the stuff with Chevrolet for the Camaros. That was something they came up with, and it's similar to a muffler system. But instead of using an actual muffler, it's kind of a low-profile deal that still is kind of less restrictive. But it doesn't have, if I remember correctly, the way that I'm trying to visualize in my head now, because actually I got up in the car and looked at it, but that's been 50 years ago, so my mind is not anywhere near as sharp as it was. But it seemed to me like it had kind of a... It's almost like the exhaust system almost looked like one of these pythons that swallowed something. It had kind of a chamber. It was like a chambered exhaust, I guess. And it had like a chamber in it that was similar to like a muffler. But it was, if I remember correctly, it was all attached together. It wasn't separate, and it was tuned to that particular engine. It was a fairly expensive option. His had the dry sub instead of, you know, the dry sub oil instead of an oil pan, had the dry sub, and he had disc brakes on his, and he also had that baffled or chambered exhaust, which was, those were pretty rare options in those days. But I know, you know, back in those days, you could order a car from the factory and get about, well, you know, whatever options they had, you could get them on. It's not like today, but it sounded great. It didn't sound the same as one of these that, you know, had some different, light, you know, blow-flow mufflers. It had a different sound to it entirely. It sounded almost like a Can-Am car or something. When you pulled up, they just had a rumble to it. It sounded different. It was lower. It wasn't real loud, but it was lower and throatier than some of the stuff you hear today.
Okay. Well, my car sounds good, you know, when you get down on it. But you can't even hear it just cruising down the road. And, And I'd like for it to be just a little bit louder. And so I'm just going to see what it sounds like. The mufflers are right in the back, and you can disconnect them. There's a factory bolt up right there. And I'm just going to unbolt them and crank it up and just see what it sounds like.
Definitely going to be louder, but, you know, going that far back, if I remember correctly, we're where the your Mustang's, where the exhaust is that far back, it's not going to be quite as loud. But it's still going to be pretty loud. But it's tuned to that point, and I don't know if, like I said, I don't know enough about the new engines to know, you know, what the experts say about, you know, how to run the exhaust systems when they're tuned like that. Cause you got to have a little bit of backflow, still, I guess, in order for it to, burn clean. And of course, we don't have to meet any, you know, we don't have any restrictions in South Carolina. Right now, they don't check anything. I don't guess that in years for pollution or anything. But it's gonna be pretty loud. But I'd be interested to see what it did, because I remember having on my W31 Cutlass, I had, you know, there was a guy that I went to school with, he had a 442, and he put a whole new exhaust system on his, and he actually had a pop off on the side when he would take it down to the drag strip and just, you know, bypass the mufflers entirely. But yeah, that's back in the 60s, so I don't know whether that's feasible these days. It would be loud if they had something like that. But I don't know what all types of stuff they got in the county, or what type of if they have any baffles or anything inside the actual, you know, the pipes up to the mufflers or not.
Well, on this one, the cats are right up at the where the exhaust comes off the headers, and and then it comes down and it has a cross section, so they're cross flow exhaust and then the muffler. So I don't think it's going to really change a whole lot, other than open it up just a little bit. What about glass packs? What do you know about them?
I think all the ones that they sell now, you know, they're gonna be louder. And I think it just depends on what, you know, we used to be able to buy, like I said, years and years ago, thrush was a big deal in those days. People buy thrush mufflers, and they were just less restrictive and didn't have much in them at all. But like I said, the pollution thing was a problem in those days. It's probably not now, but I guess I would imagine there are various options that you can get in a glass pack that'll give you an idea of what it's going to sound like, and, you know, what it's going to do to anything else. But if it's a crossover, I would imagine they probably got some, you know, specific for that engine and that horsepower level, you know, whatever your engine is. I think most of them around, I don't know, the latest one, some of them are 450, so, but I think most of them around 420, I think, on the V8s. And I would imagine that you can find something specific to that engine and horsepower rating that would sound good without being too loud. Yeah, it wouldn't make you deaf, in other words.
KB4CBA. Well, yeah, I don't want to, you know, not be able to hear my radio or whatever. but anyway, we'll just have to see what happens here. There's a guy up the street that, he's got a muffler shop, and I stopped and talked to him a few days ago. So he said he'd take my mufflers off for about $100, $80 to $100. So I told him, I said, well, I may take you up on it. So I'm going to disconnect them, see what it sounds like. I might wind up putting glass backs on them. Who knows? But anyway, well, it's good to talk to you, Jerry, and I'll bail out of here and see what kind of trouble I can get into. You have a good afternoon, Kate, and I'll stick around for your final KB4CBA.
Sure thing, David. Hope everything goes well, and be careful up under those cars. here. Yeah, be sure you watch it, wear something to protect your eyes, because I was always dropping screwdrivers and stuff like that. And, yeah, I was lucky to, I didn't do that much work on them, but I did some work on my own. But it's dangerous sometimes. Just be careful with everything when you're up under there. And hope everything works out and see what it sounds like. And I'm anxious to see what you think. Have a good afternoon. M4DJC clear.
All right. Well, yeah, I was a tech for since 1987, on and off. And I was, when I quit working on cars, I was Mazda Master Certified. So, but I got me a set of 6-ton jack stands and 3.5-ton jack. So, if that Mustang falls on me with 6-ton jack stands, I'll be surprised. But anyway, 73's KB4 CBA.